I have told this story before. As I was writing my sermon this week, I looked at this story and I thought, well, I've told that before. So I tried to look for another story, another analogy, another metaphor. But I couldn't find one that was better than this one, so I'm going to tell it again. It's a good story. It's worth hearing one more time. Not so long ago, I found myself eating at one of those sports bar restaurant type places. One of the types of places that has like 19 television screens around the, or as my wife refers to it, my worst nightmare, that type of thing. And usually when you go into a place like that, you know, there's a lot of different sports to pick from. A couple of TVs will have football, and a couple will have basketball. There might be an auto race on one of them, and an MMA match on another, maybe some baseball on a couple. You know, there's a lot to choose from. But there are a couple times during the year where our sports offerings get fairly slim, and where the TVs, they have to come up, they have to be creative. You know, you'll see like a chess tournament on, or a spelling bee on one of them. And I found myself one day sitting there eating my hamburger, and I glanced up, and this TV caught my attention, because on that TV that day was the NCAA Women's National Bowling Championships. It was an epic battle between the University of Nebraska Cornhuskers. There is no place like Nebraska, good old Nebraska, you. And the upstart Davids in this Goliathian match, the McKendree University Bearcats. If you have not heard of McKendree University, it's because they have 2,900 students. They're a small university here in the Midwest. University of Nebraska has 51,000 students. It is a large, internationally known powerhouse. It was like the plot of Hoosiers playing out in a bowling alley. It was epic. Every round, McKendree was smoking the Cornhuskers. McKendree had this one girl. She would get up and she had on her, right, the bad polyester shirt with her name on the thing. But she had this shoulder, she had her sleeve pulled up, and this shoulder had that athletic tape going down it, where it goes, like, looks like three strands of athletic tape to try to hold her. Apparently she was having some shoulder problems. She had a brace on her elbow, because she had an elbow injury. She had a brace on her wrist, right? And she would get up, and she had the funniest stand. We just went bowling a couple weeks ago with our young families. And don't get me wrong, my bowling stance looks like I'm having a conniption. But this girl would get up, and she would stand with her ball, and this arm would go out like this. And I think it was like counterbalance or something. She was just, because she would get up and just strike after strike after. She was a beast. She alone was stomping a mud hole in the Cornhuskers. She was a stone cold killer. Every time she, and Nebraska would pull within a few pins, they would start to get close, they might even pull ahead, and then this girl would get up and just mow them down. She was like a bowling ninja. It was amazing. Couldn't take my eyes off of it. My wife notices I'm not joining in the conversation, that I'm watching over her shoulder. And she's like, what is it that has taken so much of your attention? And I had to tell my wife, the NCAA Women's Bowling Championship is on TV. If you're wondering, that's never a good reason for why I didn't hear what she just said. But you know, I saw something that day. What mesmerized me was watching these college students. I mean, these girls, there were about eight girls on each team, and they looked like your normal, everyday college student. Generation Y, latte drinking, UGG wearing, phone obsessed college students. Except, they were on national TV bowling for a national championship. Somewhere in their past, when they were a kid, when they were in elementary school, junior high, maybe even high school, someone in their life, a parent, a grandparent, a coach, maybe it was that crazy uncle. You know, we all have that one uncle that has his own bowling ball, has his initials engraved in it, right? Has his own shoes. He's got that matching bag, he carries it all in, right? They had a crazy uncle who said, hey, let's go bowling. Someone in their life introduced them to this wacky sport full of polyester shirts and beer nachos and said, let's do this. And they not only liked doing it, they liked doing it so much they got good at it. Not just that they got good at it, they got a college scholarship to go do it, and now they're on national TV bowling for the national championship. All because somewhere in their journey, somewhere in their path back there, somebody turned to them and said, hey, let's try this. As I spoke to the kids this morning about it, we are starting to gear up for camp, even though it feels like January outside. It's actually April. I double checked. It is April 15th. And camp is coming. Our first camps are going to start the last week of May. So we're getting geared up, getting ready for camp. And you know, I'll never forget my first year here at Merriam when I was getting ready. I've directed camp now. This will be my 18th year at Tall Oaks, directing or counseling at church camp. And that first year I was here at Merriam when I was getting geared up for camp, I'll never forget, there was a church member came up to me. And he asked, he said, well, how does camp work? Do you take vacation days to go to camp? And I said, I'm going to let you in on a secret. I work harder at camp than I do here. Camp's exhausting. Camp, when I get done with 4 days of camp, I am worn out. There is nothing left in my tank. Imagine, if you will, being responsible for about 30 to 35 fourth and fifth graders. These are 10 and 11 and 12 year olds. Their parents have trusted me and my staff to take care of their children, provide for them, help them grow spiritually. Tall Oaks is trusting me and my staff to watch over and care for these kids in their good name. 24 hours a day for 4 days, I'm on alert, I'm on the go, driving my staff to do a good job. It's hard work. And when it's done, I usually need a nap. We are truly blessed as a denomination, as a region, to have Tall Oaks with us. Tall Oaks is our regional campsite. It is run by the Disciples of Christ. When I ask for donations for regional ministry, and you wonder to yourself, where does all that money go to the regional ministry? Tall Oaks is a big part of our regional ministry. There will be over 600 kids that go to church camp this summer at Tall Oaks, in addition to hundreds of other kids who attend special camps for autism, for diabetes, kids that are in the foster care system, and on and on and on. These kids' summers won't just be changed by this moment at camp. Their lives will be changed. Just a couple months ago, I was awoken at 6 o'clock in the morning by Sandy Curtis, who many of you know. Sandy was texting me feverishly. The Tall Oaks closed down, 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 the Tall Oaks closed down. 6 in the morning, I heard something buzzing, couldn't figure out what it was. It's Sandy having a fit. And I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. What happened was, the Muscular Dystrophy Association has done their camp at Tall Oaks for years. They are one of our partners out there in camping. The Muscular Dystrophy Association nationwide decided they were going to change some of their camps, and they moved the kids and families that would normally go to Tall Oaks to a different camp in Missouri. The journalist that was assigned that story wrote the worst news piece, the worst written news piece. It sounded like, when you read the article, that Tall Oaks was closing. That wasn't the case. The MDA was simply moving their camp. And here's what happened. Group of MDA parents and kids from Kansas City who've gone to camp for years. Tall Oaks is their camp. They said, you didn't even ask us. That's where my kid goes to camp. That is their camp. They love Tall Oaks. Those parents have broken away now from the MDA and are raising their own funds, because it takes a lot to send kids with muscular dystrophy. They often have to have one staff person per one or two kids. So they have to bring a massive amount of staff as well. So they are organizing and getting ready, because that's how much they care about going to Tall Oaks, because Tall Oaks is their camp as well. That is the passionate connection that can exist with camp. For us, study after study after study tells us that kids who attend church camp are far more likely to continue being a part of church and faith and all of this well into adulthood. I went to church camp. I went to Circle C and Elbar C. Those are the camps that were run down near Ottawa by the Kansas City Youth for Christ. They're not called that anymore. I think they're Youth Front now. They were Kansas City Youth for Christ. I went to church camp, and it was at church camp where I discovered a joyous, contagious faith that praised God and fortified convictions. It's where I first explored the thought that maybe I should go into ministry. I was 16 years old, and I could feel God pulling on my heart. Now, I didn't respond to that for 15 more years, but that's where that seed was planted. There are hundreds of people in the Kansas City area, and I would venture to say at least 12 to 15 ministers in the Kansas City area at Disciples Churches who had that same experience at Tall Oaks when they were growing up. Just 2 weeks ago, we did our Easter egg hunt, and I'm outside watching the kids, making sure they don't run into the street, stuff like that, and this dad comes up to me, and I've never met this guy before in my life, and he goes, "I understand my daughter's going to be going to Tall Oaks," and I said, "That's fantastic." And he said, "Yeah," he goes, "I think it's really cool." He said, "I went to Tall Oaks." I've never met this guy. I don't know who he is. I don't know if he goes to church or if he's part of a church or what his faith life is like. But he was so touched when he was a kid that he's making sure his kid does it. We have grandparents now that come out to grandparents' camp with their grandkids. The grandparent went to Tall Oaks as a kid. We are 3 and 4 generations now into camping at Tall Oaks. I went to camp as a kid because my parents said, "This is important. You should go to camp." And they put the money up to send me. And it wasn't cheap. And I had 3 brothers and sisters. But my church made a difference because they paid half of the fee for me to be able to go. Because my church believed that that's what Proverbs tells us. Train up children in the right way, and when they're old, they will not stray from it. We do the same thing here at Merriam. If a kid wants to go to camp, if any kid wants to go to camp, we believe that it's an important moment in their faith journey, and we say, "We're going to help you get there." We pay half the fee for a kid to go to camp, but our camp fund is starting to show strain. When I first came here 8 years ago, and we said, "Hey, we're going to pay half for a kid to go to camp," that was easy. We had $4,000 in a camp fund, and we had 2 kids to send to camp. My daughter, and I think David Zickwolf went 1 year. There were a couple summers where it was just Abby that went. And that was easy. You got $4,000, and you're saying, "Well, we need $150 for this kid to go to camp." That's easy stuff. That's easy peasy. But now, this winter, we discovered our camp fund was down to $1,500, and we may have as many as 15 kids going to camp this summer. We already, as of today, have 9 registered. Let's just stop right there for a moment and thank God for what a blessing that is. 9 kids. You're sending 9 kids to camp this year. 9 kids are going to church camp, and on their little name tag, it's going to say Merriam Christian Church. 9. And maybe as many as 15. But we looked at our fund and we said, "We don't have enough money to pay half." So we put the word out. A couple months ago, I wrote a letter in the newsletter, and I said, "Hey, we're going to need some help sending kids to camp." And you responded. We've raised that fund now from $1,500 to $2,900. We have bumped that up. People have come forth with donations and said, "Hey, I want to help." Just this morning, somebody walked in and said, "Hey, I don't have much, but you know, if I gave $100, would that help?" I said, $100, send a kid to camp." I said, "That'll do it." Because of your generosity, we have raised that fund back up. But it's worth noting that it's harder for us to have this commitment. We are starting to have to dig deep to raise funds in order to keep offering this opportunity. And anytime there is struggle, there are whispers. They don't whisper to me, just so you know. They don't whisper in my office, but in the parking lot, in the hallway, there's whispers. "Who are all these kids? I mean, some of them don't even come to church here. Why do we have to send these kids to camp?" That's an important question. So I'll tell you why. Because we are kingdom builders. We are helping to build the kingdom of God. We believe in God's kingdom over this world, in the values of God's kingdom, in the structure of God's kingdom, in the grace of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is where justice, truth, triumphs over oppression, where grace is more than hatred, where love conquers fear. God's kingdom is where the last is first, where the least of these are welcome, where we welcome the little children unto us, where we raise children in the way they should go so that when they're old, they'll come back to it. Kingdom builders are concerned with the kingdom of God first and their own interests second. Kingdom builders are servants to all. Kingdom builders know that even as individual churches and denominations and movements may fall, the kingdom of God is eternal. The kingdom of God is forever. The kingdom of God is infinite. Kingdom builders trust that the seed of hope planted at camp will grow into a lifetime of spirituality and faith. And we may not see the end result, and that's okay. These kids might not come here to go to church. They might not go anywhere to church. They may go to another church. That's okay, because we're about the kingdom and not just the branch office. This church is a finite construct, and the day may come when the winds of change and time blow the last of our dust from this spot. But the kingdom lasts forever. We believe that. We say it every week, your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are not just maintainers of this church. We believe in the kingdom of God. We believe in a faith that transforms lives. And we want to expose people to that faith so that they'll walk their life with God, so they'll believe, so they'll be a part of the kingdom. This matters. The child who goes to camp and learns about God and explores their relationship with God and works on their walk with God is going to continue on this path when they grow up. When we send a kid to camp, we're not just giving mom and dad a long weekend. We're not just giving the kid something to do that doesn't involve a battery pack and a game guide. We're introducing kids to a time in their lives that is just for God. While at camp, kids engage in lessons and activities, and they hear stories and worship together and have morning devotions. They get up at 7 in the morning to come together and do a devotion for the day. They pray together. I tell you, as God is my witness, there is nothing more moving than standing in worship with 38, 9-year-olds, and one of them comes from the pack and stands up in front of them and says, "Bow your heads with me." There is nothing more important than a child who finds a faith that fits. Several years ago, I was doing junior camp, which is for fourth and fifth graders. So these are 10, 11, 12-year-olds. And I had this kid. You could just tell when you looked at him. This kid, in every aspect of his life, was an outsider. There was nowhere this kid fit in easily or well. Right? To explain that, his grandmother pulled up to camp, got out of the car, came and found me, and she said, "He doesn't want to get out of the car." I said, "Okay." So I walked over and talked to him. I said, "Hey, you know, can you just come here for a second and talk with me?" And so he got out of the car and he walked over, and Grandma threw his suitcase out of the car, shut the door, and drove away. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, we're stuck with each other." This kid was 11 years old, dressed all in black. It's the middle of July. It's 194 degrees in the shade. He's wearing long black pants, black shoes, I don't know how this kid owned this many black shirts every day, a different black t-shirt. Dressed all in black. He had long hair that was stringy and greasy, and you can just tell. There is no way this kid fits in at Grandma's church. You know that when she has dragged him to church, he looks around and says, "Grandma, this ain't for me." Right? The music isn't music that he listens to. Right? The sermon's boring. Everybody here's old. Right? This kid, there's no way this kid fits in at his grandma's church. One of the things I used to do for junior camp every year, I had a friend who played in a Christian rock band. It was a 3-piece band, had guitar, bass, drums. And I would feed them dinner if they'd come out and play a concert at Tall Oaks for my junior camp. So I have 35 to 40 fourth and fifth graders, and I've got this rock band that comes out to do a concert for us one night. They set up in the outdoor chapel up there. Those of you that have been up to the big outdoor chapel, they set up in one end of it, and I'm pretty sure they're so loud they can hear us in DeSoto. But they would come out, and they came out during that camp, and this kid, he's sitting there, he didn't want to participate in anything. We went to the horses, he didn't want to do the horses. He didn't want to swim because I'm pretty sure his all-black outfit would drown him. He didn't want to do anything, right? But we get out to the chapel that night, and the band starts off with this hard rock version of DC Talk's Jesus Freak. Now, I know that's on all your playlists. Check it out. It's actually a pretty cool song. It's 15, 16 years old now. But they broke into this song, Jesus Freak. And this kid's face lit up. He looked at me, he said, I didn't know church music could sound like this. All of a sudden, this kid, who didn't fit in anywhere, he found a small space in faith that looked like him, that sounded like him. He found a place where he belonged. You could see it. This kid hadn't smiled all week, especially after Grandma threw him out of the car and took off. Big smile breaks across his face. His eyes light up. You can see joy coming out of this kid everywhere. He is amazed. I like this music, and they're talking about God. It is the most amazing experience in the world to stand there with a kid who finds a faith that they can belong to, who finds a faith that they can connect to God with, who finds a faith where they feel at home. That is why we send kids to camp. We're planting a seed of faith that is going to grow for years, for decades, for a lifetime. So what does that matter to you? Most of you are not sending a kid to camp this summer. But there is still much that you can do. Number one, if you do have a kid that wants to go, a grandkid, a nephew, a niece, a neighbor's kid, a friend's kid, you can send them to camp. If we register them today, we get a discount, but we can still register them tomorrow as well. If you know of a kid that we can send to camp, let's send them to camp. You can tell people about camp. Tell your grandkids and their kids. Tell your neighbors. Tell your friends. Tell the group that you play cards with. Find kids to send to camp. You can donate to our camp fund. $125 will pay half of a kid's fee to almost any camp we have. You know, go in with somebody else if that's too much. Go in with four or five people. Say, hey, I can throw $5 on this, $10 on this. Send a kid to camp this summer. And perhaps most importantly, you can be in prayer. From now until August, you can be praying for our Tall Oaks staff who provide such an amazing environment for kids. You can be praying for the camp staffs that go out, like my staff that'll go out. People who have served from our church are folks like Francis Schaefer and Alan Watts and Emily Hooker. And this summer, hopefully, Amy DeCourcy is going to be serving with us. They go out and they counsel at camp. They give of their time. They sleep in less than perfectly comfortable beds. You can be praying for all those people that are going to go out this summer and make this a possibility for kids. You can pray for the parents who are letting their kids go to camp. Sometimes it's harder for the parents than it is for the kids. I had a mom contact me just a couple weeks ago, and she said, I'm going to send my kid, my camp's in August this year. She said, I want to send my kid to camp. It's the first time she's ever been away from home. It's the first camp she's ever gone to. Can I give her phone so she can call me each night? And I said, we're going to take such good care of your daughter. No, you can't send her phone. I was like, if she breaks down, we'll take care of it. And mom was like, and most importantly, you can pray for the kids. Kids like Jonathan and Charlie and Maddie and all these kids that we're going to send to camp this summer, that they will go and find a place where they can learn about God and follow God and explore what it means to them to walk this life with God. The McKendree University Bearcats, representing a school of 2,917 students, a school that had never even played for a national championship in their entire history, defeated the mighty Cornhuskers of Nebraska. A school that, if I remember right, has got a couple championships that they put up there. A school that's a pretty big school, they got knocked out in four straight matches. And just like that, these little girls that some mom or dad or crazy uncle first introduced to bowling as something fun to do, that kid grew up and took that moment and rode that moment to a national championship, and their lives are never going to be the same because of it. We send kids to camp because we are kingdom builders. Because we know that the kids that go to camp this summer will start a faith journey that will last a lifetime, and their lives will never be the same. That is why we have to send these kids.